I have a couple guys from school that I now send pictures to. Whenever I find something like this, I'll just, in the store, take my phone out, take a picture, and send it to them. The classic one, I'm told this is true. I can't verify right now. But you know the shirts that I'm with stupid and has the arrow? You could buy those online. And it was something like one for 10, two for 25. Realize what the shirt's saying. And people were buying them two for 25. That's why I think they ended up just changing the arrow. And it just like points upward. Like Before we continue, we want to pray, right? Father, we definitely thank you for this morning. We do thank you for your word that we can go into it. We can look at something that actually happened so many years ago, but still applies to today. May our hearts be open to you, and we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, you guys need to take time and just thank those who are involved with the praise and in the back and everything, because, I mean, I help out with the church on Sunday afternoons. They've asked for me to lead praise. Let's just say that it's not like, so we sing to YouTube. I download YouTube songs, and I step aside, and like they're on the screen, so I definitely think, the other thing is, every time I speak, and I'm sure it's any speaker who comes here, there's an email that goes out that says, what's your message on, so that the music can tie to the message. And so there's a lot of thought that goes into this, and so that's what this is about. So I really appreciate what you guys are doing here, and please continue doing that. Let's jump through a couple of these and have some fun with them, okay? Oh, I have this here, don't I? That's why you gave this to me. Doesn't mean I know how to use this yet. It might be childproof. Oh, there we go. Okay. What constitutes a millionaire? A millionaire is someone who has $1 million. This guy has credentials even. One-armed man applauds the kindness of strangers. That's terrible. Thank you. Statistics show that teen pregnancy drops significantly after age 25. Army vehicle disappears. An Australian army vehicle worth $74,000 has gone missing after being painted with camouflage. Woman in the 1900 block of reported that someone must have stolen her mail because she had not received birthday cards from some of her friends. Sues himself. If I was the judge, I'm not a fan of lawyers, I would have taken the case. I would have, yes, you win. Advertised lack of funds. I'm paying $250,000 to advertise lack of funds. Someone was yelling help. Turned out to be the name of the cat. Oh, this one just. Alright. Dogs attack these ducks. The duck reviews medical treatment. I mean, really, are we putting these kinds of things in the paper? My favorite one's yet to come, I think. This is a fun one, okay? Police go into this building, and as a joke, trying to find this guy, as a joke, he goes, Marco! And the guy goes, Polo! Who's ever played Marco Polo anyway? Swimmers here that are, okay. For sale, a collection of old people. And I love they have to block out the number in case you might call. Wanted somebody to go back in time with me. I don't know. You'll get paid after we get back. Let's bring your own weapons. I've only done this once before. Deborah Jackson said she likes shopping at the Dollar Palace because it's convenient and casual. I don't have to get all dressed up like I'm going to Walmart. I probably should have said that with a southern accent, shouldn't I have? All right, here we go. In 1 Samuel, one of my favorite chapters is the one where... let me just illustrate and you tell me what happened, okay, of why this would happen. Somebody said threshold. What about it? Pardon? Yeah, their God broke. You hate to stand where your God just broke. So they have to step over, right? This chapter is a classic one, and it really gets into the situation of, we're going to Saul's downfall, okay? Impatience, pride, we're going to be in disobedience. But you know when you catch someone in a lie, and they just won't admit it? Or how about, have you been caught in a lie? And if it would have just been so much easier if you said, I lied. I'm sorry. But you try to cover it up. That's what this chapter is all about. And so we're going to go through... Oops, there. Samuel said... This is 1 Samuel 15. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one that the Lord sent to anoint you king over the people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites, easy for me to say, and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children, infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. Instructions seem clear? You may not like the instructions that God is saying, you know, kill the children. And that's a whole other topic. Okay, we're not going to go into this week, but... You may not like them, but the instructions are pretty clear. Any idea what this is a picture of? Father on his deathbed, son comes to him. I have this in a couple different situations. There are twin boys. How's that for a help? And the one pretends to be the other. So he puts, you know, hair of an animal on his arms and stuff, you know, and puts on his brother's clothing, and his father's eyesight's poor, and his mother's helped with the cooking of this, and he comes in there, and his father gives him the blessing of the oldest son. Jacob? And he's all right, going to Isaac. Good. And then he leaves. A little bit later, Esau comes in. And he goes with blessing, and his dad goes, I've got nothing left. He goes, give me something. Yeah, you're going to serve the other all the time. It's going to be a problem. Da, 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 da. The gold light kind of thing. The Amalekites are descendants of Esau. And so here's part of that friction already going on, okay? So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at... Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers, 10,000 men from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, go away, leave the Amalekites, so that I do not destroy you along with them, for you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. This is an interesting concept because remembering those who do you well, going back through time and saying, you know, I remember when you did this for me and helping out. I have a guy who came back to our school from the Marine Corps, and he's like, he's huge. And I looked and I said, did I ever touch you in high school? He says, no. I said, please remember that. Don't break me. Just like, you know, but remember those who do you well. And they're coming through. And what I like about this is they're putting the Kenites into a situation. Who do you believe God is with? The Amalekites or the Israelites? Because if you step away from them, this is really a statement of putting your faith in God. Step away, we're coming through. Okay, we'll get out of the way. You've been good to us. God wants us to be good to you. But step away. But if you don't, you could get caught up in this, because now it's going to be perceived as if that's your belief system also, and against God. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. What happens here? Somebody hit it for me. Y'all caught it, right? Obedience? No. No. They kept the good, got rid of the bad. Big sacrifice for them to do that? No. No. I really believe the will of God, of what He wants for us to do, is to do something the right way, at the right time, with the right motive. It's a complete giving over. It's not a partial giving over. And although our situation probably won't be the same, we're told to go destroy a group of people, but when He tells us to do something, not to go half-hearted, but to totally follow after Him with the right motive and His timing, not when it's just convenience for us. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and not carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and met with Saul, but he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor. Is turning God down to Gilgal. A couple of things I want to hit with this. Next slide, please. Thank you. Totally meant to be human. But in this situation, I want you to capture this. I would really hope that if Obama makes a horrendous choice, and I'm not going to critique things right now, okay? That it wouldn't be Republicans or Bush or those who are against Obama saying, I told you so. But that we would do what Samuel did and just cry out to the Lord. It's not about, see, you did wrong, I told you so. Because that's more of a selfish, about me kind of thing. It's more of a, wow, now where are we going to, what are we going to do? And so this is meant to be humor, but I could see myself, if I was Samuel, saying, oh, you didn't want me judge anymore? You wanted me out of here as judge? You wanted your own king? Yeah. Now what do you think? Miss me yet? God is grieved, but instead, not for his own sin, but for the sin of someone else, Samuel. What's the wording on this? He cried out to the Lord all that night. I don't know if it means, you know, an 8-hour night. I don't know if it means from, you know, 9 at night till 7. I don't know what exactly that means, okay? You know, we'll go a 10-hour night, an 8-hour, whatever it is. I don't know what that means. But all that night doesn't mean he did a 30-second prayer. He's crying out saying, Lord, we need your help. And so I really appreciate that concept here of somebody who's so in tune of what is best for the people, not what is best for me. What does God want? Not what do I want? That Samuel is crying out for Saul. Next one, please. It should work now, thank you. Samuel has to travel 15 miles to catch up with Saul, and as we know, this is not the statue of, but Saul puts up a statue of himself. I mean, is that what we just read here, right? Or a monument? Set up a monument in my own honor. Wow. You gotta kind of be careful about that, right? Of doing it of our own selves. A little bit of a pride here. And the thing is, you put this up by yourself. In God's eyes, did he do something great? Did he obey? No. Did he win the battle on his own? No. And now he's putting up, this is a horrible reminder of doing something wrong. So, oops. Oh, you saw that one. Did you catch what it was yet? No, not yet. Okay, we'll get to it. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" Now do you know what the next slide is? A movie? Big Fat Liar? Who saw Big Fat Liar? This is a funny one, isn't it, Blue Boy? Here you have he's a big fat liar. I did everything. You know, bless you, Lord. He gets all this kind of credit for himself. And that kind of situation going on. Do you know the statement on this one? I think you do, by the way. Liar, liar. Pants on fire. No, it's as long as a telephone wire or something. Is that okay? I'll go back to some of this. I really think this is like going to the kid who's and saying to him, "Did you take one of the cookies?" And the kid has like crumbs all over his face and chocolate going, and you know, hands behind his back. "No. You know, I didn't take any," you know, and it just, here you have the situation where he's going to him and he's like, "Hey, Samuel, man, I did everything God said." He's like, "Pardon? What do I hear? I'm sure it's my imagination. Am I catching something here?" And then his response. Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest." "Stop," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." "Tell me," Saul replied. He's caught in sin, so he immediately blames others. Do we ever see that in Scripture? Like right from the start? Where Eve immediately says, or Adam says, it was Eve. Eve says it was a serpent. We immediately pass it off on someone else. And I will tell you, I've as a teacher, responded differently with students. I'll catch those students, and they're like, "My bad, I'm totally wrong, I am sorry." It's like, whoa, we don't have to argue about this? We don't have to play games with this? No, I'm wrong. Totally different attitude for me. And as a matter of fact, totally different response that's going to be received for the student because of that. But when the games are started to play where you blame others, the lie leads to more lies, and then even spiritualizes sin. And I don't like the phrase, "We spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God." I hope you're in a situation where you're not worshiping the God of your parents. that it's your parents' God, that it's Brady's God. I hope you're old enough to realize that it's your God. Same person, please. But it becomes your God. And that you are worshiping God because you've given your life to Him. It's a personal relationship. This spiritualizing sin. Wow, what a scary thing to do. I did something wrong for the right reason. I sinned so good would come about. And we have something called the end does not justify the means. I steal so I can give to the poor. I like that in movies. Steal from rich, give to the poor. Robin Hood, right? Is stealing? And was it always from the rich he was stealing from? No, but we like to glamorize it in Hollywood. But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag the king. For me right there, I mean, like, I don't think I'm as patient as Samuel. That doesn't surprise you, I know. But it's like, wait, did you just hear what you said? You're told to totally destroy them, and you just said, I totally destroyed them and brought back Agag the king alive. Do you realize you're contradicting yourself already? You know, think about what you're saying. You know what? Don't talk. you're bothering me with this, okay? The soldiers took sheep and cattle for the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice to the Lord, your God, at Gilgal. He again is going to blame others, spiritualize sin. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the Lord your God, He has rejected you as king. This whole concept, to obey is better than sacrifice, the heart being more important than the actions. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Oh. Right. Who, well, I'm not going to ask you who it's for, with you. Who's bought something for someone else? Come on, a card or something? You better put your hand up, Brady. That's right. Who is hoping to get something from someone else? You don't have to put your hand up, no, Brady. Okay, all right. I'll just... A word to the wise and otherwise. Think through that phrase. To buy someone a box of candies, you know, to buy for, well, I guess for the candies would be more for the guy, right? The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So to buy flowers for a lady and spend the rest of the day with a different lady, flowers may not go over very well. But we do that with God. It's almost like we try to bribe God. He's not looking for a sacrifice. Oh, God, here's some flowers for you. Here's my tithe. Here's some money. Here's 10 minutes. It's like, well, where's your heart? Is your heart with me? Are we together that way? Do you love me? Just to know that you're loved. What a great gift. When it really comes down to it, when the Israelites were sacrificing an animal, did God eat any of it? Did he cash it in for anything? If he could have, would he have, or if he did, would he have needed it? It's like, whoa, you know, the market's really hurt God. He put some poor investments, and we need to really give to God because he's in a bind. That's not what it's about. Where are our hearts at? Oh, I keep doing this. To obey is better than sacrifice. From Psalm 50. Hear, O people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle of 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains and in every creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. And so he's like, don't give me like possession things. Now, the possession things, the tithes, should come out of our heart, but it'd be like, be thankful. Realize what I've done for you, and then you know what? Please ask for more, because I want to help you again. And it's just, what a beautiful Psalm 51. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I'd bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. You may be in a situation, you're like, I don't have money to give, God. I don't, you know, what do I give God? And he's like, wow. He thought about playing or writing a song for me, drawing a picture, writing me a note. Just spend time with me. Just express your love. Let's just be together. Hosea 6:6. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. And again, it's so cool that the Old Testament, we would think these would be New Testament verses, but now that Jesus Christ has come and has been the sacrificial lamb, the sacrifice to end all sacrifices, that now we would say, he doesn't need sacrifices, he wants obedience. It's like, no, even the Old Testament, it was always about the heart. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instruction. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me, so I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. This whole thing with peer pressure, you know, be cautious with it. It's very important who you hang out with. Your friends will determine who you become. The older you get, the more that is true. So, so clear in college. But who you hang out with really affects who you become. And here he immediately goes, I was afraid what the people would think. We need to avoid that whole concept. How would your life be different if you're only concerned with pleasing God? Now, I'm kind of like stepping away from this, but I'm right in the passage still. That Saul, if your only concern was pleasing God, how would things be different? You were so worried about pleasing others, about making sure that they liked you as king. And Samuel turned to leave. Saul caught hold of him by his robe, and it tore. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. It's pretty cool. It's your whole object lesson that as Samuel goes to turn, Saul grabs at him to come back, and it tears. And we're not exactly sure how it tore in that. The Jewish, Orthodox Jewish people today, not Jewish people just by birth, but also by choice of religion, will still wear an undergarment that has little ties off the end of it. And then the one tie will be blue, and it's like a prayer knots that they're going to go through with praying. And we're not sure that if he tore that even. And it would have been something that would have really been like, it would have been embarrassing to tear that. To tear on something like that. But either way, the object lesson is there. I walk away, and Samuel, who's like always ready to give a sermon or something, they pull out, he's like, just as you tore this, has torn the kingdom from you. And he's like, whoa, okay. I want to stay. I'll put these verses up there, but I'm going to read them in a moment together, okay? Do you have a Samuel in your life? Do you have a friend in your life that if you're turning in the wrong direction, they're going to let you know? Do you have a friend in your life that if you're going to do something wrong, will nudge you? Would you say, really? I hope you do. I hope you do. Are you willing to be a Samuel to your friends? Are you willing, not judgmental? I don't see Samuel being judgmental here. When Saul sinned, he cried. He's not judgmental. He wants what's best for Saul because it's what's best for Israel. And it's what God wants. Are you willing to challenge others if they need it? Saul replied, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then Samuel said, am I doing this right? Sorry about that. Bring the Agag king of the Amalekites. Agag came to him, confidently thinking, surely the bitterness of death is past. I have sinned, please, honor me. Wow. And all those phrases should be that close together. I have sinned, but please honor me. Now that whole idea of a true confession is more than just saying, I've sinned or I'm sorry. I think it's that mindset of how do I correct this? How can I change something with this? And realizing we're wrong. So he says, bring the king here. And Agag came to him confidently thinking, surely he's not going to kill me. And so he comes in kind of confident. And I'll finish the rest next week. No, you want to know what happened, don't you? It's horrible. I'm sorry, I had no idea that you were an idiot until you started talking. I'm sorry. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so will your mother be childless among women. And Samuel put Agag to death before the Lord at Gilgal. Great trash talk there, huh? Then Samuel left for Ramah, but Saul went up into his home in Gibeah of Saul. Until the day Samuel died, he did not go to see Saul again. Though Samuel mourned for him, and the Lord was grieved that he had made Saul king over Israel. I think this is probably the only time, I don't know of another time, where Samuel went into battle and killed someone. I wonder if it was awkward for him. It's not like that's something he trained for. Probably not using his own sword, grabs it in front of everybody, and it's like, whoa, the priest is doing this? The priest is like, boom, going after him. Well, this is what has to be done. Another picture is a little harder to see that one. These were not actual photographs at the time, of course. There's a word there also, by the way. You guys remind me of my golden retriever. This is beautiful. You're going, you know, you have a dog. Like, you see the L I A R, the liar. It's kind of clever, I thought. Right. Kind of with me on this one? I want to close with this, because we've gone through the passage. I had to go with G's, okay? Forgive me on this one. When it comes to my life, is God grieved? Is he displeased? Is he glad? Oh, okay, it's good. And can I use the word giddy? Do you know what giddy is? Like at 2 a.m. when someone tells a dumb joke, is giddy time, because you laugh anyhow. It's that overly excitement. But when God looks at my life and sees how I respond, and like on the way to school or work, the time I spend with him, my very first thoughts in the morning of going up to him, my last thoughts of the night being back to him, time spent with him, that when things happen, my thankful heart is something that God is hurt, he's grieved because there's no time with us. It's something that he's glad. It's like, yeah, this is nice. Or something he's really excited about. I mean, did you ever think of, and I love these kind of pictures when you get the laughing Jesus. Because that's how I view God and Jesus. I don't view that stern judge who's watching to zap us. I instead view the God who's looking to bless us. And looking for an excuse to want to do something nice for us. And it's a total different mindset. But most of our pictures had that stern, older man. That's not how I view God. And so, let me take some time and evaluate your own life. Am I doing what God wants? Am I spending time with him? Does he know that I love him? Let's pray. Father, we do love you, but we know it's because you first loved us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for blessing us. May we look throughout the day and the week to see your involvement, to give you credit, to seek you out. I pray this in my Savior's name, in Jesus' name, amen.